hear together what God is doing and what he wants to do. I'm excited about today's message. I love preaching about the church. And last week was part one, where we talked about just the general things about the church. We talked about, you know, that the church is not the building, it's the people, the followers of Christ. And so this week, we're going to really narrow it down to the specifics of this church, Lincoln Christian Fellowship. For some that have been here for a while, this is a review for you. Many of you are new, and so this will be your first time looking at it. And so we really want to make this clear, and so you understand, why is it that we're doing what we're doing? Why do we meet? Why do we have programs and ministries and all that kind of stuff? Why are we in this building? And just all those things. And so I want to just pray and just ask to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just speak through me, so we can all be on the same page and join in with what God is doing in Northwest Lincoln. So Father God, this morning, Lord, we just do turn our attention to you. We ask you to come and to speak to our hearts, to show us, remind us the plan and the purpose, what it's all about. Lord, we want to be a group of people that honors you. We want to be a group of people that is led by you. So come and lead us this morning. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, and then show us how to apply it to our life. And the church said, amen. Ministry is unique from about anything else. There are parts of ministry that is business. There is the business meeting. We have a budget. We have a board. We have, insurance. We have all this. There's parts of it that's business. It's the finances. It's, all the logistics of any program that you're doing, of any event that we have. And some people don't like the business side of church and would even be upset or would even disagree with business. A church isn't a business. It is a business. There is a business side of it. We have bylaws we follow. We have, all these things. But there's also the ministry side of the church. And that's usually where the fun happens. You know, that's what's going on right here, right now. That's what's going on over there with the minis and LCF Junior and even in the nursery. That's the ministry side. That's where we connect with people. That's where we teach people about Jesus Christ. That's where we teach them about the Word of God. That's where we encourage people. That's where in ministry, where marriages get stronger and parents are taught in parenting according to what the Bible would say. And just that's the ministry side of it. The ministry side of it is taking up an offering and sending it off to a missionary to help them out in a time of need. That's ministry. And that's the fun part of it. That's the part that we all get excited about. Unless you're a numbers nerd or something, the budget, which I have to admit, I kind of like that kind of stuff. And so it's like, oh yeah, the budget, yay, but there's the ministry side of it. And so why do we have a business side and a ministry side? What is the joint purpose? Why are we here this morning, for instance? For some, why have you come here for years? I've been here for 16 years. And some of you were here before I got here. Why have you been here this long? What is the point to everything? Why are we doing what we are doing? We have to have our purpose. And I'll tell you our purpose. You see it every week that you're here. It's right here up here on the stage. Jesus Christ, to know him and make him known. That is our purpose. That is why we do what we do. Somebody were to ask you, what is the purpose of Lincoln Christian Fellowship? The purpose is to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. That is why we do what we do. That is why we have Sunday school class in the morning. It's not because it's a tradition. It's because we want to provide an opportunity for people that want to know Christ at a deeper level, who want to grow in that understanding and be equipped in how to make him known. So that's why we do Sunday school class. That's why tomorrow night here at the church, there's a men's meeting and there's a women's meeting. And we're going to meet in two different parts of the building. The ladies will probably be over here somewhere, Fellowship Hall, and the men will be over in the office building. And we're going to meet Why are we going to meet? To have fun? Yeah, we'll have fun. To for the guys to razz each other and goof off and hang out? Yeah, that's what guys do, right? But we do it because at some point in that meeting, we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be talking about God. We're going to be encouraging each other. We're going to be challenging one another. We're going to be coming together for that purpose of knowing Christ. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Say amen. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone who thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now, Paul is going to tell us why he, more than anybody else, could have confidence in the flesh. Okay? Verse 5. "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee." So he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. I mean, he was it in that day. He was the religious leader of the day. I mean, he knew the Old Testament. He knew the law. Verse 6, "concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless." So Paul's saying, I fulfilled the law, which he found out when he met Christ that he didn't fulfill it. But he was in that pursuit. The pursuit, his love for the law was there. His love to persecute the church, that he thought the people that were following Christ were blasphemers. And so he pursued with a zeal to destroy the church. Verse 7, "but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowing the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Paul says, everything that I've earned, everything I've achieved in my own strength, in my own abilities, I count them as nothing, so that I can know Christ. His pursuit was to know Christ. That's what his life was all about, was knowing Christ, learning about who he was. He had this encounter with Christ, a salvation experience. He saw God for who he was. He saw his grace and his compassion. He saw his own need, that he could not fulfill the law in and of himself. So he saw his need for a Savior. And then he saw Jesus, and Jesus revealed himself to him, and he taught him, and the Holy Spirit came and filled him up, and he led him throughout this amazing journey of life, preaching the gospel, traveling all over the place, being stoned and whipped and just beaten and imprisoned, all for the gospel, all because of Jesus. So the question is Jesus worth the pursuit? That's the question we ask ourselves. Is Jesus worth the pursuit? When I don't feel like going to church, is Jesus worth getting up and getting dressed and going to church? When I don't feel like going to, the Bible study, is it worth it? Is Jesus Christ worth the pursuit? And I would submit my opinion that yes. What else is there? My message 2 weeks ago on surrender. If you haven't heard that message, I'm telling you, you need to get that message. Christ is everything. Where else would we go? What else would we have? If we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have any reason this morning to stand and praise God like we did. If it was just a ministry, if it was just some teaching or some tradition, there's no point to it. There's no life there. There's no eternal value there. There's no change, because Jesus comes and changes the person from the inside out. religion tries to change people from the outside in. Our purpose isn't to teach religion. I don't care about religion. My purpose is to teach Christ. Because when people understand the person of Jesus, their life is transformed. And when people understand the person of Jesus, they will want to change and they will change. I remember a man, I won't tell you his name, he told me one day, he said, "Don't tell people what to do when you preach, because they're not going to do it anyway." And being in the ministry as long as I have, it's so true. But when you tell people who Jesus is and you show them who Christ is, when you reveal the Father to people, they say, "I want that." And then they'll change. You're not going to go home and read your Bible because I told you to read your Bible. Go home and read your Bible. There, I told you to go do it. Now, are you going to go home and do it? Probably not. But when you understand that Jesus is found in the Scriptures and you want to know him, then guess what? You'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to come to the Bible study and hang out with these people from LCF, your church family. Why? Because Jesus is revealed in those meetings and in those Sunday school classes and in those times together and in our prayer times and whatever it might be. So Jesus Christ, the purpose of Lean Christian Fellowship is to know Christ and to make him known. It's just not to sit here and come together and grow as big as we can get and have a bunch of, you know, goosebumps and feel all good and, "Oh, Jesus is wonderful. I love my Jesus." And we take Jesus home with us, but we don't tell anybody about him. That's not the purpose of this church. It is to know Jesus. And as we come to know him and to the level and to the degree that we've come to know him, then we go and tell other people about him. We tell them by telling them with our words, by our actions, our attitudes, our behavior, serving them, loving them, being people of integrity, all these things. And the people say, "There's something different about these people. There's something different about, what is different about you?" Well, the answer isn't, "Well, because I go to church." That's not what's different about us. Jesus is what's different about us. Amen? Jesus is what's different about us. Jesus is the reason why our marriages are different. Jesus is the reason why our parenting is different. Jesus is the reason for everything that we are. Because he is our Savior. He has come and given to us his nature, his spirit, and we live in that spirit. So our purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to make Christ known and to know him? How are we going to do those things? And this has become our phrase for the last 7 years, living life together. Living life together is how we're going to know Christ and make him known. Living life together. This is a phrase that came to me in prayer, and God branded it on my heart before I became the pastor and said, this is what needs to happen in this church. That there is a commitment to each other that goes beyond self. It doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen in families very often, about 50% of the time, where there's this commitment that says, "I'm going to live life with you no matter what." And one of the black marks on the church as a whole is it doesn't happen in the American church. Because I get mad at you and I leave and I go to this church. And then I get mad over here or get offended or whatever and I leave and I go to this church. And it's all these Christians just moving from church to church to church. Now, while that's going on, there's not the pursuit of Christ. And there definitely is not the pursuit of making Christ known. But it is God's desire that this church be a church that is living life together. And that simply means living life together with God, with our family that God has given to us, with our church family and the world. That's what that means. Living life together. And it comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 11, which says, "Count yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." That word "alive" there means zoe. It's spiritual life. So when we say we're living life together, we're not talking about just hanging out and doing stuff, though that's part of it. But we're talking about spiritual life. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. We're going to live life together with God. So when God says do this, we're going to do this. Because that's what living life together looks like. Living life together sometimes can get kind of ugly, can't it? It can get a little messy, right? I mean, our families can get kind of messy, right? It's one of the fun things about working with kids is because they tell you how it is at home. They just tell you how it is. adults, we're more reserved, right? Because when we walk out the door, we make sure that we're looking nice, right? And then our wife says, are you going to wear that? And we're like, no, I'm not going to wear this today. Is this wrong? I don't know what's wrong. The other day, we were going to school, our all-star kids to school over here, and I was driving them. And this one kid, we listened to a Caleb in the van as we're driving the kids over. Some of the kids are singing the songs. And some of the kids are like, how do you know these songs? I don't know these songs. And so they start having this theological discussion. And I've heard many of these over the years, and I always just love hearing the kids talk about theology. Oh, this is Christian music. One little boy, I'm not Christian. I don't like Christian. But he comes to Rock Solid, and he can quote verses, and he doesn't understand. What are you saying? This one kid says, I can listen to country and Christian. But kids just say, this is what we do. This is how it is. And sometimes at home, it gets kind of ugly, doesn't it? As sometimes in the home, it gets a little rough. But the commitment level, the love for each other says, we're going to work through this. You know, when I get frustrated with my kids and my kids get frustrated with me, we just deal with it. You got to work through with it. And that's what living life together is here. It says, I'm committed to you and you're committed to me, and I'm going to disappoint you, and I'm going to miss the mark, and I'm going to say things I shouldn't say, and I'm going to do things I shouldn't do. But at the end of the day, you're still going to be committed to me, and I'm still going to be committed to you. Living life together. And as we live life together, guess what? We'll see Jesus in new ways, at deeper levels. Because when I'm willing to be real and vulnerable, then I get to a level in my heart where Christ can be revealed. But if I'm reserved and I've got walls built up, then guess what? Christ won't penetrate those places. It's when you and I come and we surrender those things. So we're going to know Christ, make him known. We're going to do it by living life together, which means I'm committed to you. Doesn't it feel good to know that when you come in those doors on Sunday morning, there's no expectations? Doesn't that feel good? And when you come in the door, there's no expectations. We're gonna accept you. We love you. We care about you. You're going to accept me and love me and care about me. And we're just going to have a good time. And we're going to know Christ together. And we're going to go minister together. You see, you can't minister effectively if you're not living life together. You can't do effective ministry if you're upset and mad at each other. It won't happen. It can't happen. We had our carnival a few weeks ago. Had 100 and plus visitors come through the bounce house and all the stuff and the food and the games and kids and people. And I heard a lot of people that I don't even know. I never met them until that day. So, wow, this is a good place. You can just kind of feel this is a good place. Well, what are they talking about? They're talking about they can feel the love of God here. They can feel a peace of God. The joy of God is here. But what happens if we were all fighting with each other? You know, Mike, I don't like you. I'm mad at you. And we're just mad at each other. And, you know, everybody's just fighting. And we're just all, and then people come in. And then this is what we do at home, right? We all do it. It's Thanksgiving meal. You're fighting with your family. You hear the knock on the door. It's grandma and grandpa. You're like, oh, hi. So good to see you guys. You know, shut up. Get out. Yeah. They feel the tension. But doesn't it feel good to come on Sunday mornings or Wednesday night or whatever, tomorrow night? And just feels good. This feels good to have that relationship in Christ with each other. And it says, you know what? Jason blew it again, but we still love him, you know? Our model. We have to find a way to effectively reach out. We can talk about theory. We can talk about knowing Christ, making him known. We can talk about living life together, but how are we going to do it? And our model is simply, it's a three-dimensional model. So we are a three-dimensional church. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 1. Here's one verse in here I want us to look at. For many of you, this is new, and I want you to understand that we are a three-dimensional church. What does that mean? Well, it comes from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus, he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He's died on the cross. He's been raised from the dead. He showed himself to hundreds of people, proving that it wasn't just a ghost or some mystery. He literally walked out of the grave. And he's ascending into heaven. And he's telling the disciples to hang out in Jerusalem for a while. And then the Holy Spirit's going to come and fill them up and empower them to be his witnesses. Empower them to know Christ and to make him known. And he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's three sections there. It's the local, it's those that are geographically and culturally close to them, and then to the ends of the earth. And that's the model of this church. We are a three-dimensional model. Our first dimension are ministries that take place inside the four walls. So flip your page over. On the back, I've listed them out, and I hope I didn't miss any. This is just to give you an example. We've heard about the nursery this morning. The nursery is a first dimension ministry. It is there to minister to those that are here inside the four walls. Sunday school, the worship team, LCF Junior, Z360, Valiant Men, Joy Group. I'm not going to read them all. You can see them all there. Things even like running the media and the sound system. Those are first dimension ministries that we need to have to know Christ and make him known. Wasn't worship great this morning? Worship is good. And it's nice to be able to come to a church where there's talent and ability and a heart for God on the stage. But you know what? They practice on Thursday nights. There was a media person. There was a sound system. Somebody got here, and I don't even know who it was, the early usher, got here this morning, opened doors, turned on the air, turned on lights, made sure the bathrooms were okay. People came this week and cleaned the building. And there's a lot of work that took place. We didn't just show up. If we just showed up, it'd be like it was last week. There'd be bulletins on the floor because some of you leave your bulletins on the floor. It would be a mess. But because people want to know Christ and make him known and provide a place where that can take place, people got here and they cleaned, and a lot of work went into this morning. And you know what? The offering that we took helps to pay for the bills so we can have a nice, comfortable place to come and hang out in and to know Christ. So there's a practical sense. That's the first dimension. The second dimension are those ministries that happen primarily outside of the four walls. Now, some of them overlap, and those are good. Like Z360 is obviously to make disciples of youth, but the youth are bringing their friends. And so now we have growth. We have more youth that come on Wednesday nights than that come on Sunday morning. And a lot of them are junior high girls. So if you're interested in helping out with some junior high girls, I could use your help. We need some more men, some young boys to come. Rock Solid, the same kind of thing. It is designed to take kids to the Bible in 3 years, to teach them the Word of God, to help them understand who God is. But it also has, 45 kids that come. We don't have 45 kids here on Sunday morning. So it reaches out to those outside the four walls. Our Food Net and WIC and these people that use these other organizations that use our building, reaching out. You can see the ones that are there, the chapel services that are done on Sunday at the detention center and the different places. Our website reaches out. Most people find us now on the internet because, phone books are gone, and it's word of mouth and it's Google searches. That's a ministry. Third dimension is those that are geographically and culturally far from us. And we do that. We minister in that realm. I mean, Joy Group, that when they meet once a month, they take up an offering and they pray for the missionaries, and they are in contact with the missionaries. And we do Jehovah Java. So when you buy a coffee or you buy a hot chocolate in the morning, that money goes to our missions account. And so it goes to support. So we are a church. If you look at this list, that's a pretty extensive list for a small church, but we're making a difference. Amen. We're making Christ known through these ministries. We're equipping people to make Christ known through these ministries. So Lincoln Christian Fellowship, we exist to know Christ and to make him known. And we're going to do it by living life together. It says we're committed. We're committed to each other. And then our model is a three-dimensional church model. We're going to make Christ known in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're going to make Christ known in the surrounding communities. We're going to make Christ known around the world. Where we're at, whatever we're doing, that's our purpose. At the bottom of your page, it has the expectations for those that call LCF home. And these are the expectations that we would have, and maybe these aren't all of them. I don't know. This is the expectation not of performance, but it's the expectation of commitment. You see, if I tell my wife, Cheryl, oh, I love you and I'm committed to you, but I don't do anything to express it, then she would question whether or not I really did. And so we could say, oh, yeah, I call LCF my church home, or I'm part of LCF, and that's what we do. Well, then these are the things, as your pastor, that I would say that would show that commitment. First of all, that you pray for your leaders and for each other. The biblical principle there of praying for your leaders. Pray for those that God has appointed over you. Pray for me as your pastor. I need it. I mean, I'm not trying to be joking around here. I mean, I need your prayer. I need to know God's direction for this church. I need to know the messages that God wants to, that needs to be spoken to you. And praying for each other. Do you pray for each other? Do you take time out of your day to pray for the board and myself and pray for our ministry leaders? And I would encourage you that'd be part of the commitment that you're making. To give of your tithes and your time. To give of your tithes, you know, biblical principle of giving 10% of whatever God has given to you. God owns it all, and he's given it to you. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Christ, I would have nothing. Amen? And so the biblical principle is I'm going to give back God 10%. I'm going to give him the first fruits. It's his. I'm going to give it to him. And it's the only area that God says, test me in this. All the other areas that God does is teaching. He says, this is what you need to do. But this area, he says, this is what you need to do and test me in it. Test me in this and see if I don't overflow you. If I don't fill your barns to overflowing. If I don't bless you beyond measure. Test me in this. Now, we track giving for the purposes of tax purposes, but I don't know what you give. I don't look because I don't want it to affect me and my ministry and all those things. I know other pastors that do look, and that's fine, and different churches do it a different way. I don't want anybody to ever give financially to this church out of obligation to the church. You might do it at times out of obligation to God. But even God says, give with a cheerful heart, give with excitement, give with anticipation, because it's worshiping back to God. And I'm not sure what it is in this church. I know a few years ago, it was higher than the norm. But the norm is less than 20% of Christians tithe. Think about all the people who say that they're Christians. And less than 20% of them tithe. How is Christ going to be made known if there's no finances to make him known with? We have to have the practical side of the building and all those things. So give of your tithe. I'm not going to call you up and say, you didn't give your tithe this week. And God knows your heart, and it's so much bigger than that. If anybody tries to tell you that that's what it means, then they're wrong. The tithe is between you and God. And giving of your time to volunteer. We need all of the volunteers. I think honestly, living life together in a church is that everybody should volunteer in some capacity, in my own opinion. I'm not telling you have to do that. I'm just saying if I'm committed and I'm a part of it, of this church, of this community of believers, then I'm going to volunteer in some capacity. And some of you have different, you know, abilities and different passions and stuff. But we just would like to have everybody plug in. And there's a list on the back of your outline to say, you know what, here's something I could do. Maybe you're good with computers and you wouldn't mind doing the media. You don't miss out on a service. You're here and you can click the little button that makes the thing go up there. And right now we have two people that do that. We could use a few more. So that's the kind of stuff. And just begin to ask God, you brought me into this church. I'm committing myself to this church. I'm committing myself to what the vision is of this church. Now, God, where can you use me within this church? Where can I be used to make a difference? Where can I be used to encourage and to help this church grow in the pursuit of knowing Christ and making him known? The last one on there, the expectation is just to support your leaders and each other, to support. You know, not to do the gossip thing, which I preached on a few weeks ago or a few months ago when I shared my sin about the whole leaky tower thing. And, you know, I humbled myself before you. I was real with you guys. You know, this is how it is. So supporting your leadership. And your leaders are going to miss it sometimes. What are you going to do when your leaders miss it? I remember a person once said, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to this church. And this was shortly after the transition 7 years ago. And I was like, you know, great. That's awesome. 4-6 months later, they're leaving the church. I thought you were committed. I thought you were, well, if God told you that you were committed, but then now you're leaving, something's not right here. Either God didn't tell you to stay, or your leaving isn't in obedience to God. See, your leaders are going to miss it from time to time. We're not perfect. I am not God. I am not perfect. So if I miss it, I need men and women to come alongside of me and encourage me and get me back on track. That's the purpose of the board. That's the purpose of the ministry leaders. That's the purpose of you. And you know what? Hard to believe, I know. Sometimes you guys miss it. And then I, as the pastor, have to come alongside of you and say, was this a good decision? Is this where you're supposed to be at? I don't think you're supposed to be. This is what. And some people don't like that. Pastor's getting all of my business. He needs to leave me alone. All right? Supporting each other. The biggest way that you could support is by showing up. That's the biggest way to show support for the ministry leaders. They work hard. They, you know, tomorrow night, ladies and men's thing going on. There's prayer for those nights that's been going on. There's planning. There'll be preparations tomorrow. They'll be cleaning the rooms, getting stuff ready to go. Come on, come and show support. Now, you can't make it to all events. I understand. I get it. I can't make it to all events. Okay? But support, show up, encourage, be a part of it. That is, in a nutshell, what Lincoln Christian Fellowship is all about. And we have been in Lincoln for over 55 years now and been going strong and serving the Lord. And years ago, we were in the Belmont area, too big for our building. Deciding what does God want? Where are we supposed to go? And God led us out to Northwest Lincoln, to this place. We were able to buy the building, which we're the only business to own any property this side of Northwest 48th Street, because the government owns everything else. We own our building. We lease the property. They weren't quite ready to sell that to us. Maybe they will someday. I don't know. So we're not in debt with our building. Our budget's doing pretty good. We could do more on our budget, of course. All-Star Kids, a new ministry, Second Dimension, has done really well. It paid the church $300 a week for 11 weeks over the summer for use of the building. So it was able to contribute, you know, over $3,000 to the building or to the budget. There's some good things going on. There's some exciting things going on. And so this morning, I wanted to take some time just to explain our vision, what we do, why we're doing it. Rock Solid starts this Wednesday night. And I honestly don't know what to expect. We're going to get 10 kids here. Are we going to pick up where we left off last week or last year with 45 kids? I don't know. But I know the kids are talking about it. I know the kids at school this week saw Cheryl and said, hey, when does church start? When does church start? You know? Now, church starts in 2 weeks, you know? But they're coming for church, and we need volunteers for that. We had a leaders meeting last week, and we had some people show up, and we're ready to go, but we could use some more. What if we have 60 kids? I think we could easily have 60 kids. Between the all-star camp and the kids that have already been coming, and 60 kids in here, that'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? That'd be fun. That'd be fun. I would love that. That'd be fun for me. But I need help, or it wouldn't be fun. Will you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? I told you this morning would be a little different. Can we take a moment just to ask the Lord if there's a place for you to plug in into this church? Maybe you have a talent or an ability or a passion. You say, here's how I can use my administration gifting. Here's how I can use my hospitality gifting. Here's how I can use my ability to teach. Here's how I can use my ability to repair and do simple tasks, building tasks, doing repairs and maintenance and stuff. Father God, this morning, we just simply say we are yours. This is your church. This is your physical property. It is yours. And we know you have a plan. And we know that you have lives that need to be impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that Air Park community is a great community with wonderful people. And Lord, we know many of them are hurting. They have an emptiness in their hearts. Many of them are frustrated. Many of them are stuck in life. And you, the person of Jesus, can change that. So Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask God for you to show yourself to us, that we can know you. Lord, when we come to the different events, when we open up our Bibles at home, that we would know Christ. You would reveal yourself to us through the Word of God and through our family and our church family. You would reveal yourself to us and then empower us through the Holy Spirit to go and to make you known. Lord, may this church, may this group of people live life together. Making that commitment in the heart that says, I'm committed to this group of people. We're not perfect, and we never will be, and the grass isn't greener on the other side. I'm committed. I will do what I need to do. I will choose to walk with these people. I will choose to live and to encourage and to build up and at times correct and at times repent. But Lord, we would be a people that would live life together and show the world that it can be done. Show the world the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask, God, for you to bless our three dimensions. Lord, every ministry that takes place in the first and second and third dimension, God, bless them. And Lord, also for our building team, God, we need men and women who are skilled with building and materials and doing regular maintenance on the building and special projects. And Lord, you're the head of this church. And you are bringing in people into this church that have passions and abilities and skills. And we say thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for every person who does the behind-the-scenes work. Lord, I thank you for the man who took home our vacuum cleaners last night and worked on them and fixed the ball bearings in them and just got them all working again. Lord, thank you. That kind of stuff that most people would never know about. Lord, we say thank you for that heart to serve. Lord, thank you, God, for the ministry opportunities that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the favor that you've given to us within this community. Lord, we want to shine as a light to the world. And we ask you, God, to do great and powerful things, Lord, over this next year. Lord, I pray your blessing, Lord, over Rock Solid as it starts on Wednesday. Lord, we pray for your anointing. God, we pray that the kids that need to be here would be here. Lord, we pray for favor with the parents. God, we pray for favor with the kids, that they would be attentive and respectful, God, that they could learn. Lord, and many of them on Wednesday night will get their first Bible that they've ever gotten. Lord, may it just burn in their hearts, God. May you just call them to read that Bible and to discover the power of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray your blessing over our meal together today. Lord, that you'd be with the fellowship and the conversations, Lord. Physical nourishment, Lord, to our bodies. Lord, just, Lord, many in this room are just physically just tired. God, may you speak life to our physical bodies, Lord. Give us a day of rest, Lord. Let's go enjoy a meal and go home and just relax and be able to rest and be able to enjoy time with our families and friends. And just, Lord, we just pray your blessing over that. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Lord, thank you for being faithful to this church over all these years and leading us and guiding us, Lord. Lord, as we stand here today, God, we say we see greater things in store. Lord, and we just pray your blessing over that in Jesus' name. Amen.